So you're going to say this is Sydney Moore, Boston College Soccer. You're listening to the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast. Whenever you're ready.
This is Sydney Moore, Boston College Soccer, and you're listening to the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast.
One take. We're done.
Boom. The Mike Kaplan 100 podcast has been brought to you by RefereeRant.com. This is our craft. This is our skill. This is our voice. We have something to say. Referee Rant was conceived by a lowly official, me, looking to make side money on the weekend. Not that he didn't take it serious. He never thought of it as a skill, a craft, right there for the taking to master. Flag football turned into softball, softball to lacrosse, then basketball. Football, soccer, baseball soon followed. We're on the field. We're on the court. You may ref better than us, but you can't write like us. You might write better than us, but you can't ref like us. Marrying art and officiating. Find us at RefereeRant.com. Fight!
Our guest today is Boston College superstar, soccer player, Sydney Moore. What's going on? How's everything going today?
Good, you know, just got a great workout in. Feeling swole.
There you go. Sydney just worked out. She's home now from school. You're home now, though, doing still online classes, right? Or is the school over?
Yeah, I just have like 3 more weeks of school.
What was the season like with everything going on in the pandemic? I don't know, just describe the whole process of practicing, and you guys, I know you're able to play games, but how different was it this fall from last fall?
So we didn't get the preseason that we usually do. We came in normal time with all the non-athlete students, so that was a bit weird. For our modified preseason, each week we worked our way up to full practices, so our first practice was like 25%. We would do like passing and boxes and non-contact, and eventually after 4 weeks we worked up to 100%. So it was kind of weird not being able to do contact, not wearing shin guards, you know. The season was definitely crazy. We had some parts of the season we'd have teammates in quarantine. I was in quarantine for 2 weeks, so it was hard having to sacrifice so much of our social lives to be able to play, but we were all very grateful to have the opportunity to play because only 4 conferences this year we're playing, so it was weird. We had to wear masks in practice, and we did have to distance at points, but it was still an awesome season, so we were really grateful for the opportunity to play.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's got to be a huge adjustment from last season, and, you know, just the whole pandemic has kind of just put everything on pause. But you have the opportunity to at least play. It's still pretty cool, and you're still going to play again in the spring non-conference. Playing, you know, in the ACC, it's pretty big time. You're one of the top high school players coming out from Farmingdale. When did you really start playing soccer?
So I started on my first soccer team when I was about 8, probably in second grade. My mom worked long hours, so I never really had the opportunity to be able to play. But I was always playing soccer. All my cousins, everyone in my family have played soccer. So we were always in the backyard at family events playing. My grandpa actually came here from Liverpool, and he died while playing soccer. So wow. It's kind of like our family's legacy and something that we all love to do together. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Let's start now. When did you really decide that, you know, either you wanted to play at the next level, or when did it really become, you know, serious where you really got, you know, on high-level teams?
So when you get to about high school age, your friends on your teams will start to decide what sport they want to play, and a lot of my friends decided, you know, I want to play lacrosse, so they were done with soccer. But I never really had that hesitation of, do I want to play soccer, do I not? It was always, I'm playing soccer. Yeah. Like, there was no other sport that I wanted to do. Like, this, I've always known that this is what I want to do, this is what I love. So, you know, there wasn't really a point where I was like, I have to do this. It was just, I've always loved it so much that, yeah.
And you keep that legacy going for your grandpa. I mean, that's pretty special bond to have. What's to some of the younger athletes listening, whether, you know, they play any sport, what's a day in the life of a BC, you know, Boston College, ACC athlete? Just what's that grind with, you know, pre-corona, like a normal day with practice and school, how you manage, you know, everything.
Yeah, it's tough. Coming in last year as a freshman, it was a shell shock to my body and my academics. The ACC is arguably the best conference for women's soccer. So, you know, the first time we played Florida State in our first conference game, I came out as a freshman center back, and I was terrified playing, like, you know, Venezuelan woman soccer player of the year. But, you know, it's a grind. You wake up at 6 a.m., you are half asleep, you walk down to the locker room. You don't really talk to anyone. You just get your clothes on and drive over to the field. You know, you finish practice at, like, 10 o'clock, shower quickly, go to class. You know, you have classes all day, and then finally you get to go to the dining hall with your friends and then go back to your room and do homework. So, you know, there's no rest, really.
Yeah, the D1 life's different.
Yeah. But we're all here for a reason. We all, me and all my teammates, we love playing soccer, you know. Sometimes you just got to give up, you know, a normal life of a NARP to do what you love, so.
No, of course. And now that you're in your second season, do you feel like you know, I mean, you're so much more prepared because you know what you're getting into. You know, what advice would you give, you know, an incoming freshman who's playing their first college season, just from, you know, everything, learning the system, the size and strength of the girls, you know, just kind of everything, how overwhelming or, you know, that experience is, what advice you would give to an incoming freshman?
So when I came in, I had noodle arms. I still have noodle arms. So I always tell the younger kids to start lifting early. The girls are huge, and they're no mercy. They'll go at you. They don't care. So, yeah. And the season goes by very quick. I told my freshmen this year, like, you blink and it's over, so you just got to cherish every single game and make the most of every game, because each game counts so much. You have to give it your all, because there's no going back.
Yeah, well, since you brought the working out, do you remember the first time we had our first workout, what that experience was like?
Yeah, it was much harder than I thought it was going to be. I was like, yeah, I'm this big shot Boston College kid. I lift all the time, and I was gassed, so definitely get good workings over here.
Yeah, I mean, working out, you know, I always try telling these, you know, the younger athletes, like you were saying, how important it is to really start this kind of stuff at an early age, because at that next level, honestly, I think the biggest difference is, you know, the strength, you know, whether it's any level, Division 3, 2, or 1, you know, just the size and speed of everyone is so different. You know, now that you've been training here for a while, what would you say your favorite exercise is and your least favorite?
My least favorite is the tire. I hate flipping that thing. My favorite? I kind of like the bands over there.
The resistance running?
Yeah, yeah, I like that. And I like, the dumbbell when you step on the little board.
There you go.
Yeah, I like that. But not the tire.
No, all right, so now we know no more tire.
Yeah.
What, you know, being in the ACC, playing some of the best competition in the country, what was the coolest place that you played at? What are you looking most forward to playing, you know, maybe this spring?
Well, when we went to Notre Dame, we got to walk around the campus, which was really nice. A lot of people like to compare Notre Dame to Boston College, and when we got there, I was like, it's nothing like BC. Louisville had a really cool stadium this year. Unfortunately, they couldn't fill out their fans, but it's literally like a professional-style stadium, so that was really cool to play at. This spring, we're playing more local teams, so we'll be at home a lot, but hopefully next year we get to play at UNC, because they just made their new stadium, and it's crazy. It's sick.
Yeah, I heard we had Taylor Marino on earlier. She plays lacrosse at UNC. She was telling us about the new facilities, and it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's legit.
That's awesome. I mean, ACC, I can only imagine, you know, going to Duke. You know, Boston College itself is gorgeous. So you guys weren't allowed to have any fans this season. And the spring is just going to be all non-conference, really. So then next year, you'll hopefully go back to the real schedule. Wow. Imagine playing in a big stadium like Louisville and nobody is sitting there.
Yeah, they, like, tried to compensate by playing, like, the fan background noises, but it was just weird.
So what would you say now? I mean, it's only your second season, but including high school. What was your best moment that you've had so far in soccer?
Well, getting our first ACC win last year was so cool. Just grinding out and being able to get the 3 points at the end was awesome. My favorite high school moment was, so I'm from Farmingdale, so our rivals are Massapequa. My senior year, we all 4 years that I played there, like every time we played Massapequa, we got beat. So my senior year, we played at Massapequa, and it was our first time beating them in like 6 years, and I scored 2 goals, so I was really hype about that.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's funny though, talking to a lot of the different athletes now on this on the podcast, people have some really wild superstitions. Do you have any interesting pregame superstitions or food that you eat?
I don't have any specific superstitions, but in our locker room before each game, we play this game called Bria. It's like a dancing game. I don't know. It's really fun. We also do pregame psych, we call it. So two people each game will like make up like a fun thing to do. So my psych this year was we made like a fake scouting report for Duke. And we just, like, made fun of all the girls on the team. Hopefully no one from Duke ever hears this.
All right, so we got to make sure nobody from Duke's listening.
Yeah, but it just gets us hype, and it's really fun just being in the locker room with all my teammates before games and just, like, dancing around, singing music and
stuff.
Yeah,
it's definitely a good way to take the tension off, or if anyone's got the pregame butterflies. Is that, would you say Duke is your biggest rival in conference?
For Boston College as a whole, our rivals are Notre Dame. We call it, like, the Holy Roar. For soccer, I'm not sure if we have, like, a clear-cut rival. It's just, like, every team we just hate because everyone's so competitive and we just want to beat everyone, and each game is such a high-level game. So I'm not sure if we have, like, a clear-cut rival. Our Duke game this year went into overtime, so it was a pretty intense game. But, yeah, everyone's our rival.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, what would you say would be the other, besides, you know, non-soccer related, you know, like the coolest thing about BC? I know the men's team is doing much better, but other than, you know, soccer, what would be like the coolest thing about Boston College?
So last year, our men's basketball team played Duke, and at BC, the athletes get free tickets. So we got our free tickets and we like snuck into someone's seats because we didn't want to sit in the nosebleeds, and it was a sold out game, and it was so much fun. We were actually pretty close, like, to winning, and then we lost, but it was really cool. I got to catch I caught a t-shirt, but other than that, BC is kind of in a suburban area, but you take the train, like, 20 minutes, and you're in the city, so it's a beautiful area. It's really nice to just walk around and go into the city and get, like, a lobster roll if you want to treat yourself, so it feels like home, which is good. It's far enough from the city that you're not in the craziness, but you could just go in whenever you want.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you love the college. When you were in high school, being a top high school recruit, what other schools were recruiting you? Why'd you end up choosing BC? And what advice would you give kids now who are being recruited by colleges on, you know, how to really pick that special college for them?
So BC was actually the first school that I went on a visit to. I went June of my freshman year, walked around the campus with the coaches, and then I wanted to keep my options open, so I was talking to a few other schools, and I went on a few other visits. I went to Georgetown, which I loved, one of my close friends who I played soccer with. She goes there now. And then local schools, Hofstra, Stony Brook, where I was talking to them, St. John's. I went on a visit to West Virginia, who has great athletic facilities. And then probably, I think I went on my second visit to BC around January, so what, 6 or 7 months later. And then I went on a third visit in May, and I knew each time that I loved it. It's a beautiful campus, but I didn't want to jump into anything. So, you know, what I would tell younger people is that you could fall in love with a school and you could say this is the one for me, but you want to keep your options open. You don't want to just pick the first school that you go to. And, you know, if the school really wants you, they're going to keep those spots open for you. So, you know, it took me a year to commit to BC, but I don't regret taking that time and going to other places and seeing, you know, what other schools wanted me, because they always kept that spot open for me, and it's worked out so far.
Yeah, 100%. You always got to be, you know, patient with that process, which is hard nowadays, you know, for kids to do, especially when, you know, schools are pressuring you to make decisions. You know, playing at a high-level ACC conference, you had to sacrifice, you know, a lot to get there. You know, just in high school, what, just a normal day from going practice to club practice, you know, how much did you have to give up to play?
Yeah, I had no free time ever. And, you know, sometimes I complain to my mom, like, I have no time to do anything. But, you know, if soccer got canceled and I was sitting at home after school doing nothing, I'd go crazy. Like, I need my time to be filled up. throughout my day, so it worked out well. I'm really good with time management now, but, you know, I gave up a lot of my social life to play soccer. You know, I played basketball in high school too, so whether it's high school basketball or high school soccer, I'd go to school, do practice, come home, eat quickly, then go to, you know, SUSE practice, and then come home at like 10 o'clock at night, because SUSE, when I was in high school, was based out east, so I'd go like 45 minutes away to practice, get home at like 10, eat again, do my homework, and then go to bed. So there wasn't a lot of free time, but, you know, I enjoyed it. I if I was sitting at home doing nothing, or, you know, just hanging around with my friends doing nothing, I would have gone crazy.
Yeah, now you're in the ACC, you get to play against Duke and all these big time programs. To, you know, to maybe a high school kid who has aspirations of playing in college, you know, now that you've gone through all that, you had to sacrifice a lot, you gave up a lot, what advice would you give to a younger athlete now who's looking to play at, you know, the D1 level?
You know, if you love your sport, it's worth it. There were points where I was upset I couldn't, you know, hang out with my friends on the weekend because I'd have to travel for tournaments or games, but it's so worth it when you love your sport. I mean, and you'll know deep down, like, if this is becoming a recurring thing where you're getting upset that you're not with your friends, not doing, you know, like, watching TV, then you know that it's not for you. But it's just a feeling deep down that this is what you're supposed to do. Like, it's worth it in the end, you know. The grind is hard, but it pays off.
Yeah, and, I mean, you got to travel, too, to play, you know, at some really, really cool colleges, hopefully in the spring. And then next year, once hopefully the world gets back to normal, you'll get to play at all these cool colleges. But, you know, I think that's great stuff for younger kids listening. Huge accomplishment to play at the level you're playing at. We're going to hop right into the Mike Kaplan Keeping It 100. Are you ready? So I'm going to give you two different words. Rapid fire. You just tell me which one you like better.
Okay.
You ready to roll?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Sleds or resistance bands?
Resistance bands.
Beach or snow?
Beach.
Hip-hop or country?
Hip-hop.
Long distance or sprints?
Sprints.
TikTok or Instagram?
Oh, no. If it was, this was, like, last year, Instagram, but, like, right now, TikTok.
Squats or lunges?
Lunges.
FaceTime or text?
FaceTime.
Spotify or Apple Music?
Spotify.
AirPods or Beats?
AirPods.
Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix.
Drake or J. Cole?
Drake.
Core ball or 4-minute abs?
Core ball.
What's your favorite late night snack?
Oh, at school we actually have this thing called late night, and I get mozzarella sticks a lot. But I also like to eat cereal at night for some reason.
There you go. Those are two good options. Well, thank you so much for being on the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast. You know, you gave great advice to younger athletes. Hopefully you guys bring home a national championship, maybe an ACC championship next season, and we'll have to get you back on. Maybe your senior year to talk about the experiences that you've had. But good luck and thank you.
Thank you.
No problem.